Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Today, we want to continue to speak on the subject of building capacity, and our subtitle is going to be Building Management Capacity. Building Management Capacity. Hallelujah. The people of Israel who were in Egypt were very, endangered. Their lives were at stake, as you know, because they were the underdogs. They were in the lower class. And over there in Egypt, they were slaves. And so when God rescued them, the right word, delivered them out of Egypt, although they had been saved just as we have been saved, yet they didn't have certain capacities. Where God was taking them is what we describe as the promised land. The promised land for believers today is the kingdom rest that God has got for his people. So Israel really were taken away from slavery so that they will go to the promised land to go and do what? To go and rule in that place. To go and be in charge in that place. So imagine people who were underdogs. Suddenly God says that you must be the top dog in the land of Canaan. People who were slaves, suddenly God expects them to reign as kings elsewhere. So they lacked some three things that we have been speaking about. The first thing is that they lacked rulership capacity. They lacked rulership capacity or kingdom capacity. The reason is simple, because in the religious world of Egypt, they were slaves. So they didn't have the capacity to rule. Imagine somebody, a young boy in the Jewish society whose father was a slave, a grandfather was a slave, a great-grandfather was a slave, up to about 430 years. They came from generation of slavery. So by this time that God is delivering them, slavery had been ingrained into them. They couldn't think rulership. They couldn't think being in charge. They couldn't think being masters on their own. Because for years, their fathers, their grandfathers, their great-grandfathers, their great-great-great-grandfathers, they've been used to being instructed and being in the lower class. So after they had been delivered, they had to build what? Rulership capacity. Capacity to rule. I call it kingdom capacity. The kingdom of God is about us ruling as kings in life. So that is the first thing. The second thing they had to build in order for them to access the promised land and really live out the life, the kingdom life that God had given to them, the kingdom life of rest, they had to build management capacity. Why did they have to build management capacity? Because in Egypt, they were subordinates. They were like recruits. They were in the lower class. Economically and socially, they were in the lowest of the classes. So, as for somebody who is a subordinate, he doesn't do any planning, he doesn't do any managerial thing. All that he does is what? To labor. He's a laborer, he's a recruit, you know. He doesn't have management ability, okay? Everybody begins like that. Everybody in the workplace begins like a technocrat, you know, but as you move along, you will see that you have to shed off all your technical skills and develop managerial skills so that you can be able to rule or be in charge. So Israel, who have come from generation of slavery, lacked management capacity. But for them to take charge of the promised land, they needed to build managerial skills and management capacity. The third thing that Israel had to build was mental capacity. Mental capacity. Because in Egypt, they They labored, but their labor was not mental labor. There are two ways that you work. You work with your hands, which we call physical labor, and then you work with your mind, which we call mental labor. If you are a slave, if you are economically or socially in the lowest class, you are not privileged to use your mind. Other people think for you, and you just have to carry out the things that they have instructed you to do. So, after so many years, coming from generation of people who do not use their mind, and they bring forth to others who do not use their mind, and they also bring forth to others and they don't use their mind, all that they do is to carry out the walatu walasa, the labor type of thing. You see that with time, for about 430 years, the mind will become rusty. The mind, like a machine that is supposed to move so that your life can move, becomes so the grease is gone, it becomes rusty, it can't move for you to move. And you know, if your mind doesn't move in this life, you cannot move. You can only move physically, but that is all you can do. There is nothing you can do. Hallelujah. So, Israel, in addition to kingdom capacity and management capacity, had to develop mental capacity. They had to power their mind again. Because in Egypt, they were not allowed to go to school and be educated. Because if you educate your slave, you know, if you educate your slave, you are in trouble. So, just like we were done, I mean, it was done to some people in the recent history. I mean, they don't show you things, because if you are mentally astute, you are going to pose problems to them. So, Israel had to develop mental capacity, put their mind to work. Today, we are speaking on building management capacity as one of the things that we have to build into our lives. Why? Because just like Israel, every believer has been delivered. But the person, the believer, needs to build these three capacities so that we can be able to access kingdom life. Otherwise, we'll go round and round in the wilderness and just die. Die enjoying the presence of God. Die enjoying miracles, but not ruling. Hallelujah. Israel, when they were in the wilderness, God blessed them. His presence was with them. When they are in church, they will say something like, "The presence of God is here." Because you could literally see the cloud has entered the congregation. You could literally see that the pillar of fire that stood for the presence of God was there. You could literally see, when the Lord was given, that the ark was there. Of course, the Lord was not given during the time of the wilderness. But God was with them. They had miracles where their shoes grew with them, where nobody was sick among them. Today, if you come to the church where nobody is weak, nobody is sick, we will say that we are having a time of bliss. But it is still a wilderness life. A wilderness life is a life where you can enjoy all the provisions of God, all the free manna, all the miracles, but not be a ruler. Rulership belongs to the land of Canaan. So just like Israel, we also need to build management capacity so that what? So that we can be able to bypass the wilderness and really enter the promised land and rule, take charge of the place, sack all the giants, and then we will be ruling in this life. Not unbelievers ruling, so to speak, but you and I ruling in this life. Not ruling in church, ruling in this life. The ultimate of God is to train us, is to build capacity into us and release us into the world, because our ministry is actually outside the church to minister the kingdom of God to the dying world, that God's rule will come among them and will come in their hearts. Hallelujah. So, management is really the example God gave to us. If you look into the book of Genesis chapter 1, you understand that God, when he was bringing his kingdom system into the earth, decided to give us certain examples. Of course, we needed those examples. Why not? Because human beings should have example, should have a standard to follow. And standard is the first thing that you have to follow. When Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he's talking about seeking the kingdom of God and his standards, his righteousness, God's standards. Because they are first things, so that whatever you do, you have a standard with which to measure up to. Hallelujah. Those of us in the world right now, we don't have much problems because we have a written Bible. Believe me, Adam and Eve didn't have a written Bible. We have examples, believe me, Adam and Eve didn't have any example for them to follow. So God bringing them into the world and establishing his first kingdom era demanded that he showed certain examples unto them so that they would follow. And if you read Genesis chapter 1, you will see that the main example that God gave to our first parents, as he is giving to us now in these last days, is the example of management or managing. Actually, management is the first and the final call of God on humanity. When God created man, Genesis 2:15 says that he put them in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. You know what that one means? It means to manage it. God put our first parents in the garden not to create necessarily. He had finished everything and he said, just be managers of what I have done. Now, if we believe that as it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the time of the end. And if we believe that we are living in the last days, then you must know that the first call of God on humans to manage is relevant to us now. We have to be what? Managers, even as we are waiting for the full expression of the kingdom of God in the second coming of Jesus as he comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Look at Acts chapter 15 and then verse 18. The first example that God gave to humans is what? The example of planning. We see that in the book of Genesis. If you read Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, just those two chapters, you have a certain revelation of God, that God is a planner. To plan means to arrange beforehand and to design a way of proceeding. To arrange beforehand and to design a way of proceeding. Israel, when they were in Egypt, they did not have the privilege of what? Arranging beforehand what they would do and designing a way of going about it. No. The Egyptians would do that for them and they would say, hey, you, come. You. I'm talking to you. Come. Pack these brakes. Pack 1,000 today. Right now. Start. And then they would hold a whip over the person. You don't think. Because thinking will waste time. So you just have to pack, right? So they lack planning skills. And many believers, believe me, many believers, they lack planning skills. They don't know how to arrange beforehand and to design a way of going about things. They need to build this capacity. It's important. It's as important as any other thing that you have to build into your life. Really, that is one of the main things you have to do. You have to learn to plan. Alright? Learn to plan.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
There are many people who are living their lives without plan. They just wake up, and then once they can walk, they get down and they are going. But if you plan, maybe you wake up, you may not necessarily have to walk. Although you can walk, you may have to do some other things. All right, but certain people are not like you. I know, as for you, if we talk to you about how you see yourself by the end of the year, you can give us a nice picture. Wonderful. And you can tell us how you are getting there. Having a picture of what you want to be in the next 5 years is actually not all that planning is about. That is just having a vision. You know, there are people who confuse vision to plan. They think that, well, I want to be this in future. Pastor, hey, that's why I'm going to school. Me, I want to be that in future. That is not a plan. That is what? A vision. Okay? But a plan goes beyond vision to involve the way by which you are going to realize what you have designed, what you want to achieve in your life. Most especially in this part of the world, you will see that many people, from young to old, do not have any plan for their lives. It's worse when it comes to believers, because we believe that God has planned everything and we do not need to plan anything. It's wonderful. But planning is what is important, so that what? So that we can be productive. We will look at it as we go along. Because without a plan, you can hardly be productive. There is a difference between being productive and then doing something. If you look at a life, your own life, you can be doing many, many things. You have to ask yourself, am I producing? What am I producing? What is coming out of my life, which is tangible? You know, many people can have lives like the fig tree. The fig tree had leaves on it. It looked nice. It looked anointed. It looked powerful. But really, there was no fruit which was on it. God didn't tell us in the book of Genesis to have green leaves. He told us to do what? Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion, be in charge, rule in this life. Hallelujah. So you have to be careful that you don't stop short at just activity, doing things. Ask yourself, how productive have I been today? How productive have I been this week? Hallelujah. It's very important for you to aim at productivity, especially in this part of the world I was talking to you about, because yeah, we like a lot of activity, being busy, doing a lot of things, but the results do not show. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that we have 24 hours just like everybody else has 24 hours? But what fruit do we have to show? For how many years have we lived? 60 years as a nation. What do we have to show? Do you understand what I'm saying? Other people have got the same 24 hours. But there are things that they can show even on a weekly basis. That's what I'm talking to you about. I'm talking to you about being productive, just like God was. Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Every day you can see that God is productive. God produces something. Every day He produces something. Every day He comes on earth, He does something. Hallelujah. That is the example God was giving to humans. We needed to have that example so that we too, every day, we will do something. Do you know how come I get to know that we are doing a lot of things, you are doing a lot of things, but the productivity is very low or even not existing at all? It shows in our lives. It shows in the quality of our lives. You can live your life for 10 years and you see that basically you are in the same place. You can live your life for 2 years and see that basically your life has not changed. The way that you have been struggling has been the same way. The way that you have been doing things has been the same way. Ladies and gentlemen, these things ought not to be so. There should be daily productivity in our lives, just as we see in the example God showed us in the First Kingdom era, when every day he will come and create things and then go back, and the next day he will come and create things and go back, and the next day you come and create and go back. He was telling us that every day of our lives, we must come out with something productive to help humanity. So when God separated the firmament, he said the water should bring forth to fish. He did what? Separated the waters. Every day that he was doing something, he was telling us, this is an example. This is how to live on this earth. On this earth, you must be productive, not just have green leaves and be full of activity. Look into your life. Are there changes? There should be everyday changes. Sometimes I ask my boys, I ask people, what have you been doing? What have you done all day? This, that. The next question is that, how productive are those things? Yes, it can be full of activity, but those things are not productive. Let's cut across from little children to adults. We have to examine our lives, because life is not just, now I'm growing, now I've grown, I have to marry, I've grown, I have to. Life is supposed to be for what? Productivity. And productivity is not possible without planning. Acts chapter 15 verse 18 says what? Known unto God are all his works from the foundation of the world. Can you see that in your Bible? Let's read it together. Go. Known unto God. Are you in Acts 15, 18? Very good. Let's read that. Known unto God are all his works from the foundation of the world. Imagine it. Underline all his works. In other words, God plans before he does anything. All his works. He doesn't just come on the scene and say that, I want to do something. No. He doesn't do anything under impulse. No. God knows all his works. In other words, he has an idea of what I want to do before he does it. He doesn't do something and then he's wondering, hey, this thing that I've done, what shall he do? What is the purpose of that thing? No, God knows the purpose of something. He has in mind the purpose of that thing before he creates it, so that by the time he creates, everything is finished. Known unto God are all his works from the foundation of the world. So the things that God wants to do in your life today and next week, believe me, he knew it from the foundation of the earth. He had planned it. He has it in mind. So that is example God is giving unto us. The first example in managerial skills is to do what? Is to plan. Can we all say plan? Let's say it again. Say it again. Say it again. if you're a follower of God, what should you do? Just like God. Just like God. Plan. Just like God. Anything that takes you away from planning, they are trying to make you into somebody else's image, not the image of God. Hallelujah. Wonderful. What about the Lord Jesus? The Lord Jesus was a great planner as well. He was a great planner as well. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10 verse 7, Jesus says something. You know, Jesus Christ came to reflect God, to show us how God is like. That is why he is the express image of God. So, if God is a planner, and he planned all his works before he does them, then Jesus must also be a planner. He must plan his works before he does them. Otherwise, he is not the image of God, express image of God. Hebrews 10:7, it says what? You will see over there that it says, "Behold, I come." This is Jesus talking. "Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God." Hebrews 10:7. Jesus was also a planner. He said that, "Lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God." In other words, Jesus was saying that anything that he does on earth, it is something that has been planned. It has been planned for him to do it. He just came to fulfill a plan. You understand that? That's very powerful. Jesus didn't live an amoeba kind of life. You know an amoeba? Eh? It doesn't have any shape. It just moves like that and multiplies, and then it moves and multiplies. He didn't live that kind of life. He was God. He wasn't an amoeba. So he says that, "Look, I am coming." This was a response he gave to God in heaven, that "I am coming. I am coming to fulfill a written plan. What I'm going to do, everything has been written on." He says, "In the book, it has been written, it has been planned of me to come and do your will." So Jesus lived a planned life. So he came on earth according to plan. He came on earth according to plan. He taught the right things at planned times. In other words, he didn't just get up and just teach. No, he planned them. He planned them. He worked miracles according to plan. He died according to plan. He resurrected according to plan. He ascended on the third day according to plan. He didn't say, "Well, I think I'll go on the..." He ascended. Did I say on the third day? Resurrected on the third day. He ascended according to plan. After how many days? More than 40 days, right? Yeah. According to plan. He didn't decide on the 20th day, "Okay, I think I'll now go to heaven." No. Everything was according to plan. He said, "I have come to fulfill a written plan." Is it possible that God has written out your life, has planned out your life, just as he planned out Jesus' life? Is it possible? Yes. So should you know the plan? Should you know the plan? Yes, you should know. Do you know why you should know? Because Jesus knew the plan. So you too, you must know the plan. So there were some things that Jesus wanted to do, and he will stop from doing it, and he will say something like this. It is because he wants to fulfill what has been written. You remember there was a time that during his passion, the Pilate, I think, was questioning him and all that. And no, it's in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was when Peter cut the ears of that young man, and Jesus told him to put his sword in his place. And he told him that, look, I can bring 12 legions of angels to come and fight for me. And then he added, but if I do that, how else will the scripture be fulfilled? You understand that? If Jesus didn't know what had been written in the scripture, he would have used his power. Hey, angels, come, hey, let's scatter all of them. And then you will not be living according to plan. So Jesus knew it. There was a time, you remember, when he was on the cross, that he intentionally, thank God for Jesus, he intentionally said that I am thirsty, because he had to fulfill a certain plan. So he intentionally said, I thirst. And then they brought soaks of vinegar, put it in a hyssop or something like that, and brought it to him. The Bible says that Jesus Christ didn't like it. But he did that to fulfill a scripture. To fulfill a scripture. Hallelujah. So everything God planned for Jesus, Jesus knew it, and he deliberately walked in it. If he didn't know, he would have counted God along the line. Because God created us with our own will. But you have to know his will so that what? You follow it. You have to know his plan so that what? You follow it. So Jesus led a planned life. Number two, what is the example in building management skills that God gave us? So you see, planning. The people of Israel who were in Egypt, who are a type of us right now, they couldn't plan. They didn't have the capacity to plan because they were slaves. But now they have to learn the basics of planning and apply it. Because in the promised land, in the real world, we call it, in the place that God wants us to rule, we call it the place outside church. In that place, you need long-term planning, medium-term planning, short-term planning, daily goals, in order for you to survive over there. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.